Welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board.
Hallelujah.
All right. Praise the Lord. You're talking about the real thing and what's in your cup. Jesus being that real thing. And so before we get going, I just want to continue in the spirit of prayer, ask God's blessing upon this time. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for who you are and who we are because of you. We thank you, Lord, for the authority that you have over this earth. The sweet and kind authority that you have to serve us, but also, Lord, to expect things from us, and, Lord, to create an identity in us and through us. Oh, Lord, to be people, Lord, that are indeed your image bearers, yes, and people, Father, who carry, Lord, your, not just your image, but, Lord, just your kingdom with us. We are indeed ambassadors, Lord, and we just pray that you help us to indeed see ourselves as such. Lord, and again, I just thank you for this time. Help us to put your word into practice and allow it to bear fruit in us 30, 60, 100 fold. And we thank you, Lord, we can cast all of our cares on you, for you care for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. All right, he's a category one, independent of what we believe. It don't matter. We don't matter. He's the one that matters. All right. There's a lot of things that we talk about when we think about Jesus, but how we connect authentically with him is key. We often think about how we lead with the right scripture. But what people are looking for is authenticity. People who really care about them. Mm. People will be patient with them even when your cup is spilling or when they bump you. And so that's one of the things that's key. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that. But in Luke chapter 24, 36 to 53, we hear about how Jesus appears to the disciples after his resurrection. Can someone read that for me? It's going to read the first verses from 36 through 44.
While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe him, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms."
That's what we do the rest of the way. We keep going. Somebody else want to read?
And he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God.
The scripture has a little bit of interesting tidbits. First, you know, he kind of says, does he say that ghosts are real? Ghosts don't have bodies in there. So he says it right there. The reason why that's significant is that it has some significance on maybe what we'll talk about later. The whole process of how we as immortal beings are transformed and what states we are. That's another story. But that's an interesting one. I love this part where he says he opened their minds so they could understand. That means our minds can be closed. You know, these are just little things that are just there. And that's huge. So one of the things that we have to do is understand in our authority, one of the things that we have to ask for is not just, you know, that people be able to hear what we say, but that their minds be open to it. Mm. You know, just little things like that. And again, he has the power and authority to do that. It doesn't mean you don't make a choice out of that, but at least to understand that scripture, because God is always going to be a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on us, but at least we can have understanding, and that's key. And then we're talking about the ascension, and when all this has happened, you know, they worshiped and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They stayed continually in the temple praising God. They put Jesus at the center. You know, so I appreciate that song. And, you know, that's something that we need to do as well, because when people see that he's the center, they're going to ask questions. And that's one of the things about that. And they're going to ask authentic questions. I want what they have. You know, yeah. That's that connection and that reality. And that's something we should be thinking about as we move forward. What's going on in this whole chapter? This is all chapter 24. We talked about it. We see that Jesus is a category one. He ain't like other religions, other leaders, teachers, and all that. No, he's a category one. People are hungry for physical and authentic and diverse and tested connections. That's what you see with them listening there. They were just eating up what he had to say. They even gave him the fish, which is another story. That's when he was there. They were hungry for that. And they're hungry for that as opposed to just being spoken at. Jesus' question on the road to Emmaus actually connected with the people. And so we often think about somebody speaking. Jesus got them activated, not by telling them stuff, but by asking them stuff. And so again, we know this, but what that does is respect them, honors them. I want to know what you think. And so that's vital, especially if we're talking about trying to reach people, to evangelize, to meet them where they are, to value them. People are more than just physical beings. This is something I think we take for granted. We are limited in power, but not in authority. We actually have authority to do things. Authority has responsibility attached to it. Responsibility has accountability attached to it. Accountability with a being that are more than physical also has to deal with judgment. This is the thing that's interesting, because we're going to be judged by God. And so we have some staging areas of how to deal with that accountability. And these are things that the Bible actually talks about, what happens when we die. And that deals with a responsibility that we have regarding our accountability to the things God is giving us to do and the choices that we have made in this life. Okay? And God is not looking to punish people, but to give them a purpose. I love this scripture, and a lot of it, we know it, but again, I'd like to say a little bit more than just the one scripture that we say, kind of really get the essence and the spirit and how things connect together. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, again, he said it will be 70 years and y'all will be taken out. I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. So that's part of the promise. I exiled you, we'll bring you back. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. When you will call on me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. Boom. Authority. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the places where I carried you into exile. Boom. He bumped you. Deal with it. You know, we often think of people bumping us, things going wrong. Satan has been messing with me today. He's been busy. God did that. God sent them to exile. And sometimes we forget about that. He works all things together for the good, even the stuff he does to punish us, because he disciplines those he loves. And so this is, again, part of this process. I mean, you know, he's not looking to punish people, but to give them a purpose. And this is a perfect example of how he's talking. I have a purpose for you, but you're going to have to choose me. You know, my purposes aren't something that you get to, aren't your purposes, they're mine. You get to choose to connect with me or not to. Understanding, I have a plan for you, an awesome plan, but you got to trust me. And this is one of the things I think we sometimes forget. Because we all think about heaven and hell and good or bad. Sins have already been covered by Jesus. The real issue is, do we care about that? Do we want to have purpose and treasure in God? We talked about this, I think, 2 weeks ago or last week. Can God forgive Hitler or whatever? Yeah, he can. But Hitler has to want to join God. And the problem is that our sin doesn't sometimes gets in the way. But really, it's the choice of our pride that doesn't allow us to put him first, to be the center. And that's what he's looking at. We're looking for people who put him at the center, despite mistakes they may make. Now, we talked about this guy here. Saint Longinus, you remember him? So, you know, those are the things that, again, God is creating us to be a category of one. People who have purpose. He was a Roman soldier. He was in captivity. He was blind, but now he sees, even without his eyes. And so that's part of this process of what God is doing with us, and he has tasks for us to do. All right. Now, I did want to play this. I'm hoping folks can hear it. This is a good old video on YouTube about Gen Z. And I love it because in many ways, they epitomize the disciples on Emmaus Road. They're hungry, they're looking for stuff, and they're looking for people they can trust. And so it's just interesting. We're talking about this in the car. So I want to share this, but I also want to make sure we can hear it.
Gen Z, what's the age? What's Gen Z?
Typically 96.
I'm sorry?
96 and younger.
Thailand age. Yeah.
It's like Thailand to like JJ, basically. All of us.
Most of you. Yeah, y'all got your job.
Yeah. Like all sense of like the Gen Z age range.
Can we do the next week?
Oh.
Yeah, I had to the first part, second part.
Okay.
Wait, so
that was
96
to
96 to
2010.
Oh,
96
to 2. Gotcha.
All right, so I just want to see something real quick.
At this point in our presentation, we played some material which is protected by copyright. Because we do not have a license to distribute this material, we have omitted it from our recording. In most cases, when this happens, you can find a link to the omitted material in our online sermon notes.
All right, so good people, it is so good to see you again and to be in this. And I appreciate your feedback on that video. I think that video kind of hits us kind of where we're at. And that whole idea of authenticity and things what people are looking for, I think that's there. But we have to be inviting. We have to have We have to meet people where they're at. And doing so actually values them, which is, I think, part of the nature of this beast. We want to value them. But with this in mind, one of the things that we have is what we call authority. Now, I was going to talk to you about the ghost and all that stuff. That's coming, I think, next week. I got time now. Not that I have that. But to get there, I also must remind ourselves of what it means to be human. You know, Jesus died for humans. So he values humans. What is a human? You talk about the ghost thing. You know, the issue with humans is that we are made to be long-lasting. Our souls are not something that die when our physical bodies die. At least that's what we feel like we're taught in the Bible. That's the whole point of what comes next. That's why we're all looking for the dead shall rise. The whole idea of a resurrection is about our souls extending and coming back into a physical body. So these kind of things are who we are. And the reason why that's important is that I talked about the responsibility of authority, responsibility, and accountability. Those kind of things are part of the nature of being human, of being image bearers, of being ambassadors. Think about that. If we're ambassadors, we have authority to speak on behalf of the king or of the country that we represent. But if we don't do a good job, if we're taking money, if we're doing other stuff on the side, there's accountability for that. That's not dissimilar to what we're going to do when having to count the things that we do and don't do. If we're going to be passive and not trying to promote our country in the other place that we're, in, you know, where we're at, this would be accountable in that. And if we're not doing a good job, we may be replaced as an ambassador. Think about that. Israel was replaced. And that doesn't mean that Israel, that people are can't be saved or anything like that. But what happened was that Jews were God's chosen people. But he had to come and essentially open up to the Gentiles. And he hardened their hearts to receive Jesus. It's an interesting dynamic in that regard. All right, so again, we are beings that live beyond our physical bodies. The enemy of the physical body is death. That's one of the challenges that we face. And so one of the things that Jesus had to do when he died is to overcome that enemy. And so he overcame death. And that's one reason why he ended up resurrecting from the dead. He became the first to be resurrected. So his defeat of death was one of the first things that he did after he rose again. One of the things that we have is that we're limited in power. We don't have the same authority and power that Jesus has. We have the same power and authority that Satan has. But we have authority and we have choices. We get to go visit the grave. We get to talk to folks. We get to worship him. These are things that really require a choice. And that's one of the differences between worship and praise. Anybody can praise somebody. But to worship them, you're declaring what their value is to you. And essentially, you're their team. You value their team. Like, I am a Celtics fan. We talked in the car about the Celtics. We're taking returning. That's because we're on that team. We value that team. And God is looking for people who value his team. All right, but again, we talked about that. So that connection is part of that choice that we have. Sorry. Okay, put this in mind. So authority. We have the authority to follow Jesus or not. That's a choice we have. Authority has responsibility attached to it. We must choose to serve the community, pay taxes or not, to make, like many rich people. Many rich people choose not to pay taxes because they can. And there's ways they can get around it. Jury duty, I have jury duty this week. I'm trying to decide, am I excited about that or not excited about that? I have pie day the next day, et cetera, et cetera. So those kind of things that we get to choose. I actually like being able to support our government, you know, especially folks of color. You know, I give blood. That's something that I have to go out of my way to do, but there's a sickle cell need. I'm able to help with that. You know, there's little things like that that are something we have to be intentional about, but we get to choose. Okay? Drive the speed limit. These are all choices we get to make. There's lots of other adult choices. And so what are some choices that, what are some things that we have authority over as adults or semi-adults?
Voting.
Voting. Yeah.
Complacency. In a sense of like, if you see injustice, you have a choice to do something about it or sit around and like watch it.
Where are we getting money to? All right.
How we spend
our time. So these are all things that we have authority over. We have authority over. Responsibility has accountability attached to it. So we have responsibilities. Like, in order to, like I said, the idea of paying taxes. We probably have taxes is so we can have roads and other things. We're responsible for that, ultimately, as a community. Accountability with things that are more than physical, we have to deal with past choices that deal with, you know, deal with death, has to be, you know, so I say all this because we have accountability, we have to, what happens when we die? And this is an interesting thing in the Bible. Jesus actually talks about this directly. And this is something that I think we sometimes take for granted. But one of his parables literally has two people's name in it. Well, one person's name, another person mentioned. Lazarus and the rich man. And Lazarus was a poor man, you know, and he dies, and the rich man dies, and they go to the next place, Sheol. That's a staging area because judgment has not occurred on these for physical beings. And so, I mean, the spiritual beings, the eternal beings. And so the question is, where are they? And this leads to ideas of things like ghosts. The ancient, the Second Temple belief system, which I will watch another video on that maybe next week. I may even send it to you guys if you want to look at it early. Has a lot of, this little video that talks a lot about those kind of things. Some people would say the demons are not fallen angels. Fallen angels are fallen angels. The demons are actually ghosts of children of Nephilim who aren't in the bottomless pit. Remember the demon said, please don't put us in the bottomless pit. They actually had a view of that. I can talk more about that when we have more time. I just wanted to share this whole idea of responsibility and accountability as means, because this gives our lives meaning and purpose. We talked about that. So what is our purpose? What is our authority? What money do we have to give to stuff? What time do we have to give to stuff? And so this is the thing that we have responsibility and accountability to. And again, if you look at the Old Testament, the New Testament, and a lot of the parables that Jesus used, it was about accountability for the things that we've done and our choices that we have made. And some of it is you know, going to see this, feed the sick, feed the hungry, heal the sick, or at least visit the sick, and or visit those who are in prison. And Jesus said, but did y'all, he said, when you visited the least of these, you visited me. And this is the kind of thing that God is looking for. So part of our life is to be accountable, but a part of this is things that come to us authentically. We don't have to force it. It's stuff that kind of comes naturally because we're filling our cup with Him. And so when stuff happens, What comes out of us is Him, not our anger, not our bitterness. When you think of those things, they're pure. All those things, those things that come out of us. So God is looking for us to fill our cups with Him. All right. So I did want to go over this real quick, what accountability looks like. And so what does authority look like? Having power to make leadership decisions. You are a leader in your household, you're a leader in your life. You get to decide which college to go to, what you're going to have for breakfast, et cetera, et cetera. So having authority is having power to make leadership decisions. Word comes from an author, like authority, the person who wrote the book. So somebody who's an authority on something is somebody who knows about that thing. Newton was an authority on how gravity works. He literally wrote the book on how gravity works, Einstein, et cetera, et cetera. They know how things work, and as a result can lead others into the process of doing tasks based off of that knowledge. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be authorities to help others to do the same. But here's some examples. Matthew 7, because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. He didn't try and get references and this, that, and the other. He kind of spoke like, this was his book. And that sticks out. Matthew 18, for I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers underneath me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Who are you saying to do stuff? Where are you sending your money to do stuff? Where are you sending your time to do stuff? You have that authority. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he says to the paralyzed man, go get up, take your mat, and go home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and praised God who had given such authority to man. See, this is not the 12. Jesus called his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Booyah. He had that authority, and he was able to give it. That's the other thing, is that God wants us to give authority for folks to do stuff. And the thing is, I can tell you now, we had the Sons of the Man yesterday, 23 events. I had to grade one of the events and all this other stuff. It was taking forever, so I wasn't able to do a lot of stuff. So I needed my leaders to take authority to help people get to where they're supposed to go. You know, you have to take care of your peeps. And that's how this works. And once you think about that, it's not designed to serve me, it's designed to serve others. But this spirit of authority is very important in this process. So the reason why I need us to think about this, because once we understand the authority that Jesus had and the authority he has dispensed unto us, we start to see our lives different. And we start to use our time and our energy and our invitations and all this stuff in a very different way. And so that is it for me today. I know I'm a little late. So we can move on. And Lord, bless this time that it bears fruit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And with that in mind, we can gather up, we can circle up.
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others, and watch God's kingdom take off around you.